All right, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4, and we'll start reading in verse number 21, where it says here, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which genereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, thou bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she that, than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Amen. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." And let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you so much for this conference. Thank you for using these men to help us reinforce what we believe. And I pray, God, that you'd fill me with your spirit. Help us to receive something from your word this afternoon. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, so we're in Galatians chapter number 4. And the title of the sermon this afternoon is The Allegory of the Two Sons. The Allegory of the Two Sons. Now, there's certain passages in the Bible that completely demolish specific doctrines. They're so clear. They're so distinct in what they're saying, it's just without a shadow of a doubt, you know this is what the Bible says. You know that nothing can refute it. And Galatians 4 is an example of that, specifically in regards to Zionism. It's so clear what the Bible's teaching here that no one can really refute what it's saying. Now, what's interesting about that is that you have dispensationalists today that will go to Galatians chapter number 4 to prop up their Zionist doctrine. And in fact, they're not reading it from the King James Bible. They're reading it from their Fox News version of the Bible, where they say that Ishmael is not the unsaved Jew. What is it talking about? It's talking about the Muslims. Why? Because they hate the Muslims. Now, the first person I heard preach about this is a pastor in Lemon Grove, California, by the name of Pastor Doug Fisher of Lighthouse Baptist Church. He spent an entire sermon on Galatians 4 talking about how the Muslims are Ishmael and how the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim and all these things. But you know what? He didn't get that from the Bible. He didn't get that from the Word of God. He got that from some commentary and from watching too much Fox News. Now, what is an allegory? And look, most of these guys, they'll say, you know, it doesn't mean allegory when it says allegory. What is an allegory? Well, it's simply a symbolic narrative, okay? And what it is, it's using the real life of Ishmael and Isaac to basically represent a spiritual meaning of what we see in the New Testament. Now, go to Galatians chapter 2, if you would. I want to lay a brief foundation first before we get into Galatians chapter number 4. You see, the epistle to the Galatians was written as a result of Judaizers infiltrating the churches in Galatia. You say, what's a Judaizer? It's a false teacher who's an adherent to Judaism, who has an agenda to propagate, to promote, and convert people to Judaism. You say, well, what's wrong with that? You know, if these guys are trying to promote the God of Israel and the God of the Old Testament, what's wrong with that? Well, let me tell you what's wrong with that. Matthew 23, verse 15, the Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye can pass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." You see, when these people are propagating their false doctrine, they're not making converts for the Lord. What are they doing? They're making them twofold more a child of hell than themselves. Why is that? Because they are of the father of the devil, the Bible says. They're not promoting the true gospel. They're not promoting the God of the Bible. They're promoting the devil is what they're doing. The Bible tells us, you don't have to turn there, in Galatians 1, verse 6, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Now, we like to use that verse in regards to the Jehovah's False Witnesses, and guess what? It applies to them, right? We like to use them towards the morons and the Latter-day Saints, and it applies to them, the Pentecostals and the Oneness people, and it applies to them. But in context, who is this talking about? The Jews. So here in context, it's saying that the Jews are bringing in another gospel. It's the Jews who are perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, you could apply it to every other false religion, but originally, it was for the Jews. Now, Acts 15, verse 1 says, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." So this is not something that was new, okay? We see this as a theme throughout the New Testament, that Judaizers are going around trying to teach people this false doctrine and false gospel, which was a perversion. But the Bible tells us in Acts 13, 39, "And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." You see, we're not saved by adhering to the law of Moses. The Bible tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, "Therefore we conclude," the conclusion of the matter, "that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law," the Bible tells us. Now, look at Galatians 2. In verse 3, it says, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." You see, these were the Judaizers. And you know what they're called? False brethren. So these Sam Gibbs and these guys who are promoting this Judaism type of Judeo-Christian religion, what are they? They're false brethren. They're coming out to spy out the liberty and to bring Christians into bondage. Now, with that in mind, go to Galatians chapter 4. So keep in mind, that's what's taking place at this time here in the book of Galatians. And verse 21 says, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?" You know what I see a lot today? These people who want to claim that they know the word of God and they're promoting the Jews and saying that they're God's chosen people, they're not even listening to the law. The Bible says in verse 22, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he was who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise." Now, here we see that he's talking about specifically two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. You don't have to turn there. In Genesis 16, verse 11, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction." So the bondwoman is referring to Hagar, the free woman is referring to Sarah, and the son who's born after the flesh is known as Ishmael. Now, why is he called that? Why is he referred to as being born after the flesh? Well, for the primary reason in Genesis is because he's a result of Sarah's lapse of faith, okay? God had promised Abraham a child, which was Isaac. In their lapse of faith, they took matters into their own hands, and she ended up giving Hagar to Abraham's bosom. And what happened? The result was Ishmael out of that relationship. Now, this was not the avenue that God, you know, had planned to bless them through. And so Ishmael is symbolic of a person trying to obtain God's promises through something else other than God and his promises. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Who's doing that in the New Testament? Who's trying to obtain the promises of God without Christ? It's the Jews.
That's right, amen.
Go to Romans chapter number 4. I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 2 and verse 17, where the Bible reads, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law." Look at Romans 4. Verse 13, it says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed." Now, let me ask you something. Was Ishmael Abraham's seed? Yes, he was. But it says here, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." Go to Romans chapter 9. You see, Ishmael was a child of Abraham. But what does the Bible tell us? According to the flesh. Not according to the promise that was given unto Abraham, that Isaac, and that through Isaac that he should be called. It was referring to him. Look at verse number 6. "Not as though the word of God had taken an effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham," right? Just like Ishmael, he was the seed of Abraham. "Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh," just like Ishmael, "these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come and Sarah shall have a son, and that's referring to Isaac. Now, go with me, if you would, to Romans chapter number 8. And look, throughout the New Testament, this is exactly who this is referring to. This isn't talking about Muslims. There is no Muslims in the New Testament. You don't hear about Allah and all these other things. You don't hear about, now you might have had some beards. In those days, they were kind of, look, I'm a Christian. I got a Muslim beard. The Bible says in Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Romans 8:3 says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. Speaking of Ishmael, that symbolic thing of Israel, it says, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, you go to your average independent fundamental Baptist church, I guarantee you, they'll tell you, oh, no, 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 you got it wrong, Brother Mejia. Ishmael is the Muslims. It's the Muslims. We all know that it's the Muslims. And they will take you to Genesis 16. I've had people take me to this passage of scripture right here. Genesis 16, verse 12, in reference to Ishmael, says this. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I've had people take me to the scripture and say, see, that's like the Muslims, right? They're wild, you know, their beards and stuff, and, you know, screaming and chopping people's heads off. Their hand is against every man. You know, they're against everyone, and everyone's against them. There you go, right there. But is that a part of the narrative of the Bible? Is that what we see in the New Testament? Is that what we've seen over the last couple hundred years, thousands of years? Is it really the Muslims who's against every man, who are wild and has every man against them? No, that's not what we see. And in fact, in 1 Thessalonians 2:14, the Bible reads here, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us, and they please not God. And look what it says, and are contrary to what? To all men. What does that mean? Well, in the Hebrew, that means his hand is against every man. That's what it means. It says there, contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. That's talking about the Jews. Their hand is against every man. Well, hold on a second, but it says every man's hand is against them. Yeah, that's why they've been booted out of 109 countries. Because every man's against them. Okay? Go to Titus chapter 1. But these Republican Baptists want to get up and say, no, you know, what you need to do is spend some more time on Fox News and get your doctrine right. That's what they'll tell us. You know, Pastor Sean Hannity and all these other guys, these Catholic guys who, by the way, why are you learning doctrine from a Catholic? Some unsaved, reprobate Fox News representative who doesn't know the Bible. Now look, he said, well, but hold on a second, come on. The Jews, it says they're wild. Now, haven't you heard these Muslims scream? That's wild. That's why it says there that they're wild. Well, what does it mean to be wild? Well, it means to be out of control or unruly, right? Look what Titus 1:10 says. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the Muslims. No. Especially they of the circumcision, the Jews, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. So who are the wild, unruly people? It's the Jews, these bunch of liars. Now, go back to Galatians chapter 4. So Ishmael's not talking about the Muslims. You know, I believe Ishmael was saved, amen? But the literal person was saved. But what he symbolically represents, which is the unsaved Jews, they're not saved. Okay, they're children of the flesh. Look at verse 24 of Galatians 4. It says here, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which genereth to bondage, which is Agar. And they'll say right there, Mount Sinai, right there. I mean, in Arabia, it talks about, right? That's why I talk about the Arabians. I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 5, verse 37. It says, no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. This is in reference to the old covenant and the new covenant. And you know what it's telling us there in Luke chapter 5 and verse 39? It's telling us those who have drunk the old wine, these Judaizers, these Pharisees, they don't want to go into the new covenant. Why is that? Because they think the old is better. But you know what the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 8? That the new covenant is better. He's a mediator of a better covenant established upon better promises. That's why it's better. And look, Ishmael and Isaac are not the only symbolic people in the Bible that represent unsaved Jews and Christians. You have King Saul of the Old Testament, who also represents the unsaved Jews. And you have David, who represents Christians. You know, when Saul disobeyed God, Samuel came to him. And what did he say? The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to someone who is better than you. And what does it say in the New Testament? The kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. So, oh, hold on a second. It says bringing forth the fruits thereof. And what King Saul says, better than you. Yeah, because Jesus is better. Right. He's the mediator of a better covenant established upon better promises. Okay. Now, here's the thing. Okay. The differences between the two covenants here, obviously, is referring to the Old Testament and New Testament. Hebrews 8 is a quotation from Jeremiah chapter 31. Now, let's read Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 31. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. Now, go back to Hebrews 8 and verse 7. So there we see in Jeremiah 31, verse 32, he tells them that he was a husband unto them, okay? Now look at Hebrews 8 and verse number 7. Keep that in mind. It says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant. Look what it says. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Now, this is a quotation from Jeremiah chapter 31. You ask, and please don't, you ask James White. And he will tell you, you see, this is a contextual error in the King James Bible. Okay, he'll tell you that Hebrews 8 is a contextual error because it's not quoting Jeremiah chapter 31 perfectly. Why? Because in Jeremiah 31, he was a husband unto them, but in Hebrews chapter 8, he regarded them not. Now, we know that the Bible's inspired and preserved. There's no mistakes. There's no error. James White. So what does it mean? It means this. In the Old Testament, he was a husband unto them. In the New Testament, he doesn't regard them anymore. That's what that means. You see, in the Old Testament, they were a people of God. God did regard them. He was a husband unto them. But when the new covenant came, guess what? He doesn't regard them anymore. And this is the verse that I use to Christian Zionists who are saved and claim to be King James only. I'll tell them, look, if you're King James only, you only have one of two ways of interpreting this verse, Hebrews 8. Either you're saying that it's a contextual error, right? Because it's not saying the same thing as Jeremiah 31, or it's replacement theology. Amen. Stick that in your pipe and choke on it. Yeah. You only have two ways of determining what that means. And you know what? It's replacement theology is what it is. So these are two people groups. Now go to Galatians chapter 4. In verse 25, it says, for this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. And I'm kidding you not. They'll tell you that's in reference to the Muslim because it says Arabia. But you got to define the Bible using the Bible because it says it answereth to Jerusalem. What does that word answereth mean? Well, in Proverbs 27, verse 19, it says, as in water, face answereth to face. So what does that mean? When you look into water, what are you going to see? Your own reflection. So what is the Bible telling us in Galatians 4 and verse 25? For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and reflects Jerusalem, which now is. And by the way, this now is not talking about 2018. It's talking about the Jews of that day. Okay, so he's saying those people who adhere, those who are the children of Hagar, those who are adhering to the law, they're the ones who reflect Jerusalem, which now is. Verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all, that heavenly Jerusalem. Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice thou that barren, that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now, which is exactly what was taking place in Galatians. Now, verse 30, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall be not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now, go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 8. These will be the last scriptures we go to, and I'm done. So we see that in the Old Testament, what did Sarah say? Hey, cast her out. Cast out Hagar. Cast out Ishmael, because they're not going to be heir with Isaac. Okay? What does that symbolically show? What is that in the New Testament? Well, in the New Testament, it shows that the unsaved Jews will be cast out. You say, wait, hold on. Are they going to be cast out of the land? You know? Isn't that what that's talking about? Where are they going to be cast out of? The Bible tells us in John 8, you don't have to turn there, verse 32, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, he says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Now look at Matthew 8, because I'm going to show you where they're going to be cast out into. Matthew 8, verse 10 says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom, who's that referring to? That spiritual Ishmael, those unsaved Jews. But the children of the kingdom shall be what? Cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said, where are they going to be? Where, you mean, you know, they're not just going to be cast out of the land. They're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's where they're going. Every single last one Christ-rejecting Jew will be slain before the Lord and will be cast into the lake of fire. We said, well, hold on a second. You read from John 8 and it says servant. The servant abideth not in the house forever. Well, let me read you from Matthew 25, verse 29, where it says, for unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast thee the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, many of the parables found within the Gospels, a lot of reasons why people trip up and they stumble at these parables, it's because they don't understand that it's talking about the Jews. Just because it says servant doesn't mean it's talking about a Christian. It's talking about the Jews. That's where they're going to be cast out of. So Galatians 4 is one of those portions of Scripture that just demolishes this so-called concept that the Jews are God's chosen people and that Ishmael is the Muslims. No, they're not the Muslims. Stop hating on the Muslims and try to reach them. Amen. Stop hating the Muslims and try to preach the gospel to them. Amen. Stop hating on my beard and just go out and preach the gospel to the Muslims. Bunch of racists. But what is this teaching us here? You know what? Anybody can be a part of Isaac. Anybody could become that child of promise in Christ. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I didn't do justice to this subject, but I'm thankful for the word of God that just explains this so clearly. And thank you for those who've come across this truth that have taught it to us. And I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to be faithful with the word of God, to propagate it as you see fit. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.